I'm sorry, that's okay. No, I probably would like one, because this is what I would like to do. We have a group here that I think we can maybe get a little bit closer together and do some studying together. So if I can get closer to you and you can get closer to me, would that be okay? So can I have the microphone? Does that white microphone, will it work? Or am I gonna? And so this is being recorded. So we are at Joy of Troy Seventh-day Adventist Church. And if you need Jesus, this is where you go to find him. Amen. All right. And we all need Jesus, right? Amen. I know I do. I was asked to come and enjoy this time. I am like, don't tell anybody, but I'm kind of like amazed that I get paid to do this stuff. Because, hey, would you come and visit with Joy of Troy and help with the week of prayer? And I'm thinking, I don't know. No, of course I'm going to come. I love you guys. So it's really good to be here with you. I wanted to do something tonight going along with a theme that Annette had kind of shared with me regarding what you guys were doing this week. Last night my wife and I were, we did something I've not done in years, and that is stay up till midnight. I don't do that. I don't believe in that. I need my beauty sleep, and so we got to stay up till midnight. And partly because I was concerned something was going to happen, you know. And I'm a news junkie. I wanted to know what was going on. But we were talking about resolutions, and I'm not a big resolution person. But you know, we're sitting there thinking, and she's asking me, what is your resolution? Do you have any resolution? So I'm hoping that our time together, I'm going to preach tomorrow. I don't want to preach now. So we're going to do a little Bible study and just talk. But I'm wondering if you had a chance at all to think about what happened in 2015. Where has God taken you? You know, what are the highs and the lows of 2015? And have you had an opportunity to think, you know, Pastor, how are you? And Mrs. Pastor, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Feliz Sábado. Have you had an opportunity to think about 2016? You know, have you? You know, not resolution like, you know, I'm going to join the exercise. I'm going to join Planet Hollywood. Not Hollywood. What is that fitness place? Gold's Gym. I'm going to join, and then, you know, come January 5, it's the resolutions down the tubes. I'm saying, did you think about what you want 2016 to look like? We look back, our 2015 has been one of spiritual highs and lows, and not because of any failing on God's part, okay, but just life and circumstances, and they tend to take you. But I was able to thank God for what he's taken us through. And then, what do I want to see in 2016? Have you done that at all? No? Huh? A little bit? Okay. I think, you know, the older I get, the more I realize how fast time flies. And how often do you take time to just stop? And have you ever stopped and just sat down and thought about, where has God taken me? You know, I don't know how long you've been in the church. Some of you, maybe your whole life. Some of you, however long you've been walking with the Lord. But if you think about the journey you've been on with God. You do know it's a journey, right? I mean, if you thought about it that way, because God knows where he wants to take you. He knows the experiences and the things you're going to take on. He already knows it. You don't. But look at what he's brought you through in the past. And there's benefit. There's a huge benefit in seeing where God has taken you in the past. Because when you face things that you don't know what the future holds, you at least know who's had your back then. And folks, my Bible says that God does not change. And when I have trials and troubles, and my wife's the worrier, I mean, I worry some, but she's, you know, it's a female gift. She worries a lot. And one of the things I tell her, I said, listen, my God has never let me down, and I don't expect him to start doing it today. So I want to encourage you. And that told me that tonight's theme, which I think she's kind of channeling Martha Ford a little bit, she said, this is what you're going to speak on. So I said, yes, ma'am. I'm just kidding. But tonight's theme, or if I can use the term or the phrase that we're going to kind of focus on, is teach us God's way. Teach us God's way. And so I was kind of thinking on that a bit. And there's a lot there, at least, that comes to my mind when I think about teaching us God's way, when we're asking God to teach us his way. And so I want to start by telling you this. Be careful what you wish for. Okay? When you say, God, teach me your way, you need to be very careful what you wish for. Because the truth of the matter is that walking with God is a life-changing experience. And it's not always a pleasant experience. Okay? Do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm hearing something. You understand that you can say, I want to walk with God. But what happens when God says, if you want to walk with me, you have to leave that behind? And you're like, what? Okay? Walking with God is a life-changing experience. So if you're going to sit here today and say, God, teach me your way, be careful what you wish for. There are people that profess that they want to know God's way. But when God is actually tries to teach them something, they balk. They step back. They're like, this far and no further. You know, I can't remember which evangelist, which preacher it was. He was talking to a group of college kids. And he told them flat out, so some of you people give this part of your body to God. But that's all you want to give. You understand? And he didn't have to say anything else because I knew what he was talking about. Because I think he was talking about me. But that's the way many of us are. So if you say, God, teach us your way, or teach us God's way, you better know what you're asking. The journey with Jesus is meant to change your life. Do you understand? It's meant to change. It's meant to challenge you. You're sitting here right now. I'm standing here right now. You think about the things that you hold to be true, the things that I believe to be true. Guess what? Maybe they're not true. God is going to challenge you if you continue to walk with him. And it's a good thing, but it sometimes is a very painful, scary thing. So I want you to know tonight, as we talk about this, because we're going to look at some Bible verses, but I want you to know, if you want to learn God's way, if you when you hear me say, teach us God's way, and you're saying, yes, Lord, teach us your way, if that's something that's burning inside of you, okay, I want you to know that the Bible tells us that God is eager to teach you his way. God is eager to teach you his way. You just read the Gospel Commission, right? Go and make disciples, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. So in other words, if you are discipling someone else, there's a teaching aspect. He wants you to teach them the things that he's taught you. So he wants you to learn. God does not want you to stay in a certain place. He wants you to learn. Now, here's a question that comes in my mind, and that is if he's eager to teach, then why is it so hard to learn? I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm not saying it just because, you know, I'm standing here. I'm just being honest with you. Sometimes it seems that God isn't interested in teaching me anything. Sometimes I feel like God is not interested in teaching me anything. What I mean by that is sometimes I have a problem and I pray and nothing happens. Sometimes I have a problem and I have a need and I pray and God doesn't do anything. Or at least it seems like he doesn't do anything. Okay? Sometimes it seems that God's not even interested in hearing my prayers. Is that true? That God isn't interested in? I just told you, God is eager to teach you. If he's eager to teach you, he wants to hear from you. There's a back and forth that God wants to have. So I want to make sure that we understand that there is a disconnect between this teach us God's way and there's a disconnect between us actually learning God's way. There's a disconnect, but the problem does not lie with God. If you can get that, you're off to a great start in 2016. The problem does not lie with God. When you say, God, I have a problem. I have a serious problem. I've given this to you. I'm asking you for help. You're not doing anything. It's not God's problem. God is not the problem in this equation. The problem is us. And so we're going to look at some verses in Psalms 25. To try and see, you know, if you can, what we can discuss here and what we can learn. And so we're going to read Psalms 25. I'm going to hold on to the microphone, so I'm going to need you guys to read some of the verses here, and then let's talk about it. And as I said, please don't let this be a sermon. Share what you're thinking. Share any questions you have, and we'll toss this around. So someone read for me, and make sure you read out loud so everyone can hear. Psalms 25, verse 5. Is that all it says? I think there's more to it.
Oh, I'm sorry. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait for the day.
My sister, you stepped right into exactly the way I wanted it done without even realizing it. You did it exactly the way I wanted it done. How many of you guys have ever said, God, tell me what you want me to do? But you don't wait. In that verse, how long does he wait? Some of us can't even wait 5 minutes. Somebody tell me that you understand what I'm talking about. Does anybody have any experience like that? Have you ever secretly gotten angry at God? Not so secretly? Right? Isn't that true? Because we think God is like Burger King or Domino's, or, you know, he'll answer your prayer in 30 minutes or less, or the next one is free.
The problem is we don't wait to listen after we say our prayer, and we wait to hear his response. And I don't like the amen, though. Like I said, going back for everything, like just on fast food, saying and expecting
it. Mm-hmm. So what does it say? Well, so y'all know what I'm talking about, right? You pray, you're going to the right place, but like you read that first part, and I love the way you said it. You said, lead me in your truth, teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. That's right. And then she forgot the other part. For you I wait all the day. Anybody connecting with that? Is God talking to anybody tonight? Okay. Why does God make us wait? Why do you think?
Sometimes we're not ready for the answer.
This has got to be recorded. Yeah. What did you say?
Sometimes we're not ready for the answer.
Sometimes we're not ready for the answer. You want to expound on that at all?
Well, I mean, sometimes we might be asking for a raise, but God knows if we get that money, we're not going to do with it what he wants us to do with it. Or it's going to take us to a place we don't want to go. Or we'll ask him for a spouse, and maybe God doesn't want us to be married. I mean, you can use almost any example you want, but sometimes we're not spiritually ready, sometimes we're not emotionally ready, sometimes we're not physically ready for the things that we're asking God for. So we put the proverbial cart before the horse.
Okay. So what would be another reason why God would make us wait? Say that.
We wouldn't appreciate it.
Austerity. We're recording this, right? So we wouldn't appreciate it if he did it right away, right? Pedro, you have a son. I have five, right? And my sons, let me tell you what happened. We had Christmas, right? And they had some gifts, but my mother sent them some money, and we gave them a little bit of money too. They played with their toys. By the end of the day, guess what they wanted to do? They wanted to go shopping to buy other toys because they were tired of the toys that they just got. Okay, I'm talking about my kids. I'm talking about my kids. I'm not talking about anybody else's kids. But it's funny when kids do it, right? But imagine adults. Imagine adults. You got to have it, right? The new phone. Well, but mine's not the phone thing. Mine is probably would be the iPad, because I, you know, they got that big iPad now. Thinking, oh man, I could do some serious ministry with that. And my wife looks at me and says, I don't think that's a good reason. Maybe because I'm getting old on any bigger letters. That'll work. Why is another reason why God makes you wait when you pray? Why is waiting so important? Or maybe it's not important.
We think we're God.
Say that again?
We think we're God. If we get the answer immediately, all of a sudden.
You got to expound on that. Would you be willing to do that?
The text says, "For thou art the God of my salvation." So if we leave out that part and we just ask for something and we get it instantaneously, then we think we're in control. We think we're God. We think that, you know, we can just make things happen whenever we say.
Is it possible for people to get it wrong in terms of what their relationship is with God? I mean, God is your father. You know that, right? God is your friend. I hope you know that, right? God is the Redeemer, right? God is also your King. Okay? Many of us, well, I shouldn't say that. There are some of us that are okay with the King part, but not okay with the friend part, because we don't have that, we don't know what that means. There are some of us that we understand the friend part, but we disrespect God all over the place. He's not King. God is all those things, and sometimes He makes us wait because, you know, He says, you need to know where it came from, and you need to know it didn't come from you. You know, one of the things that I've gotten into the last few years when I pray, before I left Westville, I had, you know, when you have keys to the church, you can just be in the church all the time. I would go up and down the aisle in the Westville church, and it's a pretty, you know, pretty big, long sanctuary. And my prayers would always start like this. I said, Lord, I acknowledge that everything good that comes from me is from you. I acknowledge that I don't do anything good at all. I acknowledge you that you're the Creator. You're my King. You're my Father. I acknowledge that if there's anything good that I've said, done anything, I acknowledge before whoever's listening, hopefully there's nobody else in the church, but it's for whoever else is listening, that it comes from you. And you know why I do that? Because I have to remind myself. I have to remind myself who He is. So when we get back to the original thing, the idea is teach us God's way. Be careful what you wish for, because if God teaches you something, then you're responsible to do something with it. Okay? Be careful. There are people who are going to get to the kingdom in ignorance because they obeyed what little knowledge they had of God. But you're sitting there actually being bold, saying, I want to walk with God. I want to be close. And God says, okay. But then He says, if you got to be close and you can't, there's some things you can't do. And you're like, oh. Okay? So waiting is very important. So you need to wait. So let's go to verse 8. Verse 8, someone read that for me.
Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, He instructs sinners in His way.
Okay, so I was looking at this verse here, and I was looking at it through the lens of teaching us God's way. Why does God teach us His way? Why does God teach you His way? And it's in the verse. That's in the verse.
The only thing, I mean, I see a couple of things in here, but because He's good and upright.
So
because if you're, this isn't probably not the best example, but if you're a teacher in a classroom, what is your job? It's to teach the students the math, the spelling, the English, whatever it is that you are there to teach them. And if you are a good teacher, and God is a good God, you're going to instruct them so that they do well. And so God is our God, our Father, our friend, our King. He wants to instruct us well so that we will learn well.
Okay. All right. What else? You're going to have to speak up.
I guess it's so that we can walk the correct way. Because I think sometimes we go off walking, think that we know where we're going, as to pull us back on track, so we go the correct way.
Why does God care if you walk the correct way? Say that again, what's that?
There are carnivals around the world.
Carnivals around the world. I think they said carnivores, not carnivals. That's some of that too.
They all know your name.
So think about this for a minute. Again, looking at it through the lens of teach us your way. The Bible says that God is good and He's upright and He teaches, let me get it right, it says He teaches, therefore, that's why He teaches sinners in the way. God is good and upright. That's why he teaches sinners in the way. Have you ever had an experience in your life where you doubted God's goodness because of what you were going through at that moment? Think of, for those of you that haven't said anything, I want you to think, have you ever had something just bad happen? I don't know, it could be a relationship, it could be financial, it could be something dealing with your job, your health, and something happens, and you're like, you know how much tithe I return to church? You know how many hours I put in for Sabbath school or VBI? You know how much I give to the church? And this is how you're going to do me? You understand? There are times in our experience, but listen, if you don't think God is good, then why would you care to learn anything from him? Does that make sense? So the idea that the Bible is telling us, what is God's motivation? God is good. God is upright. Let me tell you what that means to me. What it means to me is this, is God is not happy when he sees me destroying my life. God is not happy when he sees me doing stupid things because it hurts him. And so because he's good, because he's upright, he takes it upon him to actually teach me. You know, Dad, why are you spanking me? Why you got to pop me in the behind? Does that mean that Dad is bad? Or does it mean that Dad is good? 2 Sabbaths ago, we were getting ready for church, and my son... He's Joshua, he's in Tennessee right now. He came up to visit for Christmas break. And so he was there. Sarah, his fiance, was there with us. They brought this dog. It's this little wiry dog. It's really smart, but like really wiry. And so I get out. I'm getting ready to go to church. I open the door, and I'm going to start the vehicle because everybody's going to be coming out in a little while. And all of a sudden, this dog sneaks out of my house. And my house right now is located on a corner, and the one street is a busy street. There are cars, zoom, zoom, just flying. This dog was flying over, taking this long arc in my yard and the neighbor's yard, and his mouth was open, his tongue was wagging out like this, and he was having a ball, and I could almost hear the dog saying, I'm free, running like crazy. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this dog, he was coming within like about 5 feet in his arc, you know, from the road. And he's going around, and he leaves a little present in the neighbor's yard, and then he comes back. And I said, go tell Joshua his dog is loose, because I'm sorry, I don't have patience with animals. Our dog is old and slow, but I just don't have patience with dumb dogs. I'm sorry. And so I said, go tell Joshua's dog. So I'm trying to get the dog to keep it. All of a sudden, all my family poured out of the house. You know, the kids, the wife, my son, his girlfriend, they all come running out, and they're trying to corral this dog. Now, here's Bonnie. You all know Bonnie, right? Now, Bonnie is one of the most dignified people you're ever going to meet, okay? She acts a certain way, not because she's trying to impress people, just because that's just who she is. She won't, you know, as Christians, we're not supposed to swear, right? She don't swear, but she doesn't even like to use veggie swear words. She's very proper. I mean, very proper. So my wife, she comes out, and this dog, she, in her Sabbath dress, jumps on top of this dog on the ground. Like, and the ground has been wet. You know what I'm saying? This grass is dirty, muddy, and wet because of the temperature changes. It hasn't been freezing. And she dives on this dog, and the dog bloop, popped out of her arms and took off running again. And I'm like, Bonnie, what are you doing? We're going to church. Why'd you die for that dumb dog? And that was a dumb question. Do you know why my wife died for that dog? Because she's good. And she's upright. And it was the natural thing. You see a dog about to kill himself, she dove on top of that dog to save that dumb dog. It's not even her dog, but it says something about her character. So the Bible says God is good and upright. That's why he teaches sinners in the way. You cannot learn something from somebody that you think doesn't like you. Right? Because anything that person does is doing it because they hate you. Well, though your lessons are meaningless. Any thoughts on that? I've been talking a lot. What do you think? I'm either doing a really good job or a really bad job. All right. Okay, we're going to move on. Because you only told me I had 2 hours, so. Okay, let's go to verse 9. Somebody read for me verse 9, please. The meek, and my version says humble. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. Okay. Teaching us God's way. You know one quality that you have to have? What quality do you have to have in order to learn God's way? You need to be humble. You need to be meek. By the way, meek means humble. Actually, meek is more than humble. Meek is... not only am I humble, I actually prefer other people over myself, because I don't need to be remembered, seen, nothing. Give the honor to this person. I don't need it. I don't need the attention. So humble and meek are the same, but meek kind of elevates humble to a deeper meaning than just what we think of as humble. So the Bible says the humble he guides into justice. You know what that means? What's the opposite of humble? Proud, arrogant. That means that if you're proud and you're arrogant, God can't teach you nothing. And I would say this. Tell me if you agree. If you're proud and arrogant, God won't bother to teach you anything. Is that true? Yes or no? What do you think?
No?
What do you think? Well, let's pass that around. Go ahead. Tell me.
He taught Nebuchadnezzar, and he was very arrogant, very proud. But he could be reached, and even the proud person can be reached. It depends on where they can be touched.
Now, I want to come back to that. So anybody else want to jump on what he said? There's no right or wrong answer.
Like I've heard it's someone say just in whatever, some phrase, like, humble yourself because you don't want God to do it for you. And... A proud person being humbled by God is mind-blowing. Like when you see it, it's like, whoa. And Nebuchadnezzar is a story. If you're already humbled, that lesson doesn't need to be as drastic for God to reach you. But to see a proud person be humbled, it's you don't forget it.
So let me kind of go back to this verse. It says, and I'm reading from this version, it says, the humble he guides in justice. The humble he teaches his way. Can you guide an arrogant person? What do you have to do first? Okay, all right. I was going to ask you to define touch. What do you mean by touch? I touch my wife, but...
You have to get their attention. You have to summon their presence, that there's a presence greater than theirs.
Right. So you talk get their attention, right?
Yeah. You have to get their attention. You have to summon them to realize that they're not their own. Nebuchadnezzar realized that he wasn't his own at the moment he was transformed. He was like, uh-oh. And it was too late. Because the Lord said, oh, no.
The Bible said that he became kind of like an animal.
Right.
His hair grew almost as thick, like eagle's feathers. His fingernail, I guess, or his nails,
right,
grew like talons, bird talons.
Right.
And you can imagine turning into a basically an animal.
Right.
All right. So let me say, we're continuing along. Does anybody else want to add to what Pedro said?
I think of Jacob when he wrestled with the Lord.
Okay.
And Jacob knew God. It wasn't like Jacob didn't know who God was, and yet God was trying to teach him a lesson, and it took a battle, a struggle with him through the night.
That's right.
And you talk about being touched. I mean,
he touched him
in a really...
Somebody used a word back here. They used the word broken. Right, we had a hand back here, sister. I can't read to you. You have to speak up, okay? So that's the same thing, right? Sometimes Yeah, so before, so here's what I'm getting at. Is I'm just looking at this text, and it says that the humble he guides in justice. What would God prefer you to be, arrogant or humble? So if you are proud, you have an attitude, you think you're God, you think you know everything, the first thing God has to do is break you. So here you are, you say, God, teach me your way. And God says, are you sure? Are you sure? Let me ask a question. Kind of time out here. I want you to think of the smartest person that you know. Think of the person that's smart, not just like knows, you know, math and science, but the wisest person. Who do you go to when you need counsel? I want you to think of that person. Get that picture in your head. Everybody got a picture? Right? Okay. Now, I would say to you that if that picture is not Jesus, you have a problem.
Amen.
If this was a trick. I asked you to think of the wisest person you know, the person you go to when you need counsel. And I asked you to picture it, right? And we all did. But I said to you that if that person is not Jesus, then you have a problem. Do you agree or disagree? Do you know what I'm trying to, do you know the point I'm trying to make? Because we do go to people for counsel, right? But do you understand the point I'm trying to make? You go to people that you think are as wise. Sorry. You generally, when you have a issue, you generally go to people that you think are as wise as you. You don't go to somebody that's dumber than you. I'll use dumber in quotes. You know, I'm not going to talk to a 10-year-old about life. So what do you think? Because, you know, they're barely out of diapers. They don't know nothing. Right? So you, but when you talk about real life issues, for you to be willing to take the word of a book and take advice that is contrary to what you originally believe, in order for it to take, you have to be humble. So when you say, teach us God's way, God says, are you sure? Because if you think, and somebody, I hope nobody here, but if your picture in your head was you, well, you know, I don't talk to anybody. Usually everybody comes to me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, people come to me to ask for stuff. So I guess I'm the wisest person around. If you had your own picture in your own head, then God have mercy. You understand? We're going to start calling you Nebuchadnezzar because it's coming. It's coming. The Bible says, God, oh, I'm going back to the humble, he guides in justice. So if you want to be guided, be humble. If you want to be dragged along and broken, he'll take you. You said it, right? He went after, but he broke him 7 years like an animal. Whew. God, don't do that to me. But he might have to, unfortunately. Okay, so if you want to be taught God's way, a quality that you have to have is you have to be humble. You know how many people out there have a hard time with this? Who in the Bible do we know is the most humble person? Moses, right? The meekest man on earth, the most humble person. You know, when I think of Moses, one of the things that, like, I think it's so cool is that the Bible says that one time his brother and sister were talking smack about him. You remember that? Mm-hmm. That Aaron and Miriam were like, well, you know, he who's he? You know, we're good too. You know, why is everybody all after? Moses said. And God says, I want to talk to the three of you right now. And you remember what he said to Miriam and Aaron? He said, listen, when I talk to a prophet, I do it through dreams. But when I talk to Moses, I talk to him face to face. So that you know the relationship, and who do you think you are talking about, my friend Moses? Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool? I would love that. I would love that, but that, I'm too arrogant right now. That's never going to happen. But what I'm trying to see, I'm trying to tell you is that what does God look for? Who does God look to stand on their side? It's not the people with attitude, the people that think they're the smartest people in the room. It's not the people that are arrogant. So don't tell me, I'm older than you. I'm just as smart as you. I've read the Bible too. You know, God cannot help you. If he's after you, which he is, if you're here tonight, he's after you. Don't be surprised if he breaks you first. So be careful when you say, teach us God's way. Be careful what you wish for, because you're going to get it. And either you go the easy way or you go the hard way, right? Okay, last one, verse 12. So I want to make sure, verse 9, before we leave verse 9, that humility is a quality that you need if you want to learn God's way, okay? So let's go to verse 12. Somebody read for me verse 12. Can you say that just a little bit louder for me?
What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose.
Okay, so what's that verse telling us? What other quality do we need if we want to be taught God's way? We say that again? Fear? Okay, so tell me what it means to fear. Say that again.
You're supposed to have reverence, respect, adoration, and be in a position of being available to hear him. Sometimes you can be present but not available, mentally available.
What else? Anybody else want to add to that? What does it mean to fear God? When you hear that, what does it mean to fear God?
I think it's recognizing God is not common. He's holy. And sometimes we can be so cool about God and think God's just this common thing, but he's a holy God. And unless you get that holy part, you'll never have a healthy fear. Maybe that's the word I'm looking for, but something where you really get who you're talking to.
Give me an example of a healthy fear. What is a healthy fear? When you talked about that in relation to God. Eric. Okay, all right. How about something a little bit more down to earth? What about, I'm married to my wife, and there are several reasons why I would not cheat on my wife. Because as dignified as she is, she'll kill me slow. I love and fear my wife. And what does that mean? It means I respect, I honor, but there is also an element of fear, because fear, afraid.
Growing as a child, you want, or having a child, I can say like having a teenager, you want them to talk to you, you want them to open up with and have a relationship, but you don't want them to get so comfortable that they think they can yell at you or use language that's inappropriate. Sort of like yeah, we're friends, we're good, but I'm not your friend from in the street. That's my mom would be that way. Like, don't talk to me the way you would talk to your friends in the street. We're not peers. Yeah.
My oldest boy, he got into the habit of saying dude to me. Dude. I'm not dude, I'm dad. Don't call me dude. My mother, her name is Sylvia. We were at a Christmas party one time. And I said, Wanda, my sister, I said, Wanda, watch this. Hey, Sylvia, can I have something to drink? And she said, man, don't you talk to me like that. You're crazy. I'll smack you in the mouth. Don't you ever call me that. Why is that? Because it's, but that's her name. But you have to have some fear. I don't know about you guys, but you go ahead. You call. In my home, I do that. I'm walking away with a... She was like, muchacho, tú estás loco, yo te mato. So let's bring this back. If you want to learn God's way, if you want to be taught God's way, you have to fear God. Now, it's a loaded word, right? The word fear is a loaded word. Some people are uncomfortable saying to be afraid of God. But I have to tell you, when you look at the definition, the definition encompasses all those words, respect, honor, and afraid, because there's all sorts of aspects of God in there. You know, the Bible says that the fear of God is what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Have you ever thought about what that means? that the fear, the respect, the honor, the fear of God is the foundation of all wisdom. So I can't come up with a theory of how the world began apart from a fear of God. I can't come up with a theory of how I'm going to live my life if I have, if I'm married, but yet this other person is kind of coming on to me. I can't decide how I relate to that without a foundation of a fear, respect, and honor of God. If I can make more money by lying on my taxes, and I see the opportunity, what do I do? Well, I cannot make a decision on how I will act without a foundation of respect and fear of God. Does that, do you understand what I'm saying? So we're talking about teach us God's way. You, if you need to, if you want to learn God's way, if you want God to teach you, you have to wait on God. You have to, waiting is, there's trust involved in waiting. You understand? Hugh says to me, I'm going to meet you at this place at 5 o'clock. And it's 5:30. He's not there yet. And I'll say, well, I'm leaving. I'm not waiting on him. No. If I trust Hugh, then said, you know, something's held him up. Something has held him up. I can wait longer. If I trust him, I'm going to wait. If I say, well, I can't put my confidence in this guy, I'm gone. So you need to wait on God. You need to remember that God is good, because there are times that it doesn't feel like God is good. You need to be reminded. You can't learn something from someone if you think that they're not, your best interest is not at heart with them. You need to be humble. We need to be like Moses. You need to also fear God. Let me give you an example of what it means to fear God. It means to put God first, not necessarily be afraid of God in this context. Job. Consider Abraham and Job. Abraham listened to counsel from his wife, which superseded God's word. You know the story, right? God said, you're going to have a son. Well, if you take my handmaid, instead of having a baby through me because I'm too old, God's going to fulfill the promise through her. Have a baby with her. So he took the counsel of a person and instead of the promise of God, right? Job finds himself, his health is down the tubes, he lost all his family, everything. His wife came to give him counsel, curse God and die. And says, I will not listen to the counsel of a person, I will trust in God. So he feared God. He respected, honored, and there's also a fear of God that's mixed in there. So here's my thing then, all that. How many of you would like God to teach you his way when you think about it? Is that something you desire? Okay. So my question for you then is this. We talked about all this stuff. How does it apply to you? How has it applied to you in 2015? Were there times that you lost patience with God? Were there times that you just said, you know what, what are you doing? You know what, I don't feel like going to church today. I'm so mad right now, I could... You need to wait. Have you been tempted to doubt God's goodness in this last year? Do you think that kind of has gotten in the way of God actually teaching you something? Are you humble? Have you been humble? I mean, how's this year been like? Have you been more proud and arrogant? Do you really think you know better than everybody else? When you have a problem and you read the Bible, if God has told you something in the Word, do you rationalize why you're still going to do it anyway? Or did you? And now in 2016, will you continue to rationalize what you're doing? When God's word says this, you're coming up with a reason why you want to do that. That's not humble. Sometimes God teaches you things that doesn't make sense. I tell you, sometimes God says do something. I'm like, what? And the lastly is fear. How many of you have lived a life and carried yourself in a way that says, I fear the Lord? Or do you live your life saying, I fear losing my job? Or I fear losing my friends? You get what I'm saying? So that's my question and my challenge to you. We're going into 2016. You want God to teach you his way? Are you sure? You better be sure, because God will take you on this journey. He's going to take you anyway, because the fact that you're here today, you're already on it. But if this, you want the ride to be less bumpy, you need to be humble. You need to fear God. You need to wait, which means you need to trust. And don't ever let the devil fool you that God is not good. God is amazingly good. And you know what? I think that's going to be tested quite a bit before Jesus comes, which may be very, very soon. All right. God bless you guys.